Well, we finally let her go.
Bye, Trish.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on digital stream radio. You can listen live every Monday at 6:30-ish p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom, and I am your host. And filling in for the fired Trish, a.k.a. Nick, is our good friend.
Hi, I'm Elsie.
And as always, with me is our other co-host.
Good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
We almost got it.
That's close.
We almost got it. So as you can surmise, Trish is not here with us today. She had to take the day off. Although I'm just gonna say that, you know, she got fired, but that's okay.
Fuck her. Sorry, Mom.
So I keep forgetting that your mom is listening now, huh? You have to be on your best behavior.
I have to watch my swear words.
Oh, God.
She never mentioned the cursive, though. I think she's proud that her son finally mastered a second language.
That's important. So for all of you who don't know, Elsie is a really good friend of mine. We've known each other for several years, and she's been meaning to come in and talk with us here on the show. Elsie's very pragmatic. She's also very open-minded, and she's also an ally of the LGBT community. So thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome. I love that. Just fancy talk for me, liking to hear myself talk.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom.
Make sure you speak right into that microphone. Make sure like you hold it like you're about to suck it. Can we do that?
We can, actually. As an adult, I can definitely do that.
I'm proud of you. So Elsie, you have been doing so many things recently. The last time you and I had a conversation, we were talking about the possibility of you coming up on the show to talk about a little venture that you took probably, about a year and a half ago?
About a year and a half ago, yes.
And it came into fruition. And how's that going?
It's actually going great. It's a craft beer bar.
Mm-hmm.
In Brooklyn, in the Barkley area. It's a really nice area. We had a soft launch in, it was late last year, and then an actual party for New Year's. And it was actually pretty amazing. And the neighborhood has really taken to us. And we're doing really, really well.
That's awesome.
So what's the name of the of your place?
Shameless plug time. It's Beer Wax.
And I love it. And how do you spell it, right? Because people need to find it.
Right. So it's a German spelling for beer, which I thought was really clever by the principal owner, Chris Maestro. And it's B-I-E-R mm-hmm. and then W-A-X.
Lovely. And I'm hearing there's a lot of craft beers that are being...
Lots of craft beer, mostly local stuff. We have great breweries in New York. We support them. And then there is the vinyl portion of it, which is the meat of the concept. So lots of vinyl gets spinned, mostly oldies, good 90s stuff, English and Spanish, lots of old salsa. It's a really good time in there.
That's awesome.
Now, do you guys sell vinyl?
We do now. Chris had the amazing idea of doing little pop-up sales for vinyl. So you can come in and just browse and get yourself some vinyl.
That's awesome.
It is pretty awesome.
That's a niche that's really finding its way. It's been coming back. People are really getting back into vinyl. I have a vinyl player in my house. I have a decent-sized collection, and I love it. So I love beer. I love vinyl. And
so it looks like Gay Talk is going to need to take a road trip.
Gay Talk credit card. I'm going to max that shit out.
You can expect that. That's right. We would love to have you.
Well, I think that's great because something that New York and Connecticut share, you know, we're very close neighbors, but we're both really on the maps when it comes to craft beer.
Mm-hmm. And pizza.
Absolutely. Well, our area, yeah. Craft beer, good pizza.
Right. Connecticut does think that it makes really good pizza. I forget about that.
It's funny because I heard the same thing about New York.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Except it's true about New York. So
I don't know. My boyfriend lives on Long Island and he keeps trying to say that Long Island has the best pizza.
The only thing they have is an accent and they ain't even that good. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Long Island. I'm working on saying
Long Island.
Long Island.
Just make sure you say the car.
Long Island. You got to enunciate apparently on the G. Oh,
you do. It's important. Otherwise, it's like, where's that?
So a lot's been going on. It's been a very busy week. I wanted to maybe kick off, talk about our weekends before we move into some of the topics that we have lined up.
Sure.
So who wants to start? Do you want to go first? What did you do this weekend, Christopher?
Well, I worked this weekend, but I did... Well, I did end up going out yesterday for just a little bit to see some people I hadn't in a while. But I did have something happen on Thursday. Thursday, I decided to say, fuck it. Stop thinking you're not good enough. And I went to a music store in Fairfield, and I got myself a new flute.
Okay.
I'm renting to... it's a rent to own. And I decided that I am... in a year and a half, or probably about a year is when I'll actually have to do it, I will audition for music school, and I'm going to go for music education.
That's awesome.
Exciting.
I, for so long, I always loved history, and I was going to go the path of being a history professor. I'm like, you know what? I can still study history because I love it, but if I am teaching history and I turn 50 and I look back and realize that I did not go for music ed, what I am... always have been meant to do and I'm so passionate about, I'll never forgive myself.
Now, what about the oboe? Will you ever go back to?
Absolutely. And that's the reason that I went with the flute was because the oboe that I was renting was a beginner model, so it didn't have it couldn't hit the low notes that I would need on a collegiate level. So I was like, you know, I was good at the flute. I can get in with flute. And if you're studying music education, you have to be proficient in pretty much all the instruments. So I will be able to pick up an oboe when I'm there. I'll be able to play horn again.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Play the horn.
Yes.
So nest.
But I'm very excited. And the flute is amazing. And I've been practicing 1 to 2 hours a day to get my dexterity back and get my lungs working right. And I
maybe we'll have you like bring your flute over and you can blow into your microphone.
I definitely will, because it's already starting to come back to me. That and this flute is amazing.
Mm. Well, when you blow, certain things tend to come back at you, but yes.
Oh, yes. We did. And for our musicians, any flautists out there, it's one with a low B on it, which is very exciting because I've never been able to hit a low B before.
I haven't seen you this excited in a long time.
I'm very happy. And I've, like I said, I'm going to make sure I practice every day, and I will be one day a band teacher.
That's awesome.
Very so fun.
I'm excited.
So he's been blown into a flute all weekend long.
Mm-hmm.
How's Bobby?
Good.
Speaking Bobby's of good. Blowing.
No.
If Bobby's listening, hello, Bobby. It's you know, just wanted to say hi. And of course, hi to our Trish, because I'm sure she's probably listening to the live stream. Because she's like, these bitches are going to say something nasty about me, and I just got to make sure that I can burn them when I get back.
It's been so much fun just tearing Trish apart. We've been very good at it lately.
Oh, my God.
We failed
last
during
episode
the... Oh, yeah.
It was hysterical.
We failed miserably at the roast of Trish. But we're just like, you know, we'll just make up for it every other week.
Yeah, and it's been amazing. So for me... let's see. As you guys know, because I mentioned it last week when we were doing our little Memorial Day barbecue, I was jackhammering my sidewalk in the front of the house to create a path.
And he means that literally. It's not like a sex thing.
No, they know. So, you know, I walked into Home Depot and I said, I need a big vibrator. And they walked out with this jackhammer. And I said, yeah, that'll do. It'll serve two purposes. I can bust out my sidewalk and then take care of Trish.
Oh, great.
And but no, and the project is I would say 95% complete.
Looks excellent.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's gorgeous. So my bushes are coming in this week. So, and plants and stuff that'll go in that little bay that I created in that little bed. And then I have to reseed on the side to make sure we get some grass growing. And other than that, I worked at the bar on Saturday. And then Sunday, we did karaoke. And it was a very, very busy week. And I'm exhausted today because I got out of that bar at 1 a.m. and I had to be at work at 7. So,
that's always
fun. That's usually my Monday. What about you, Miss Elsie? What did you do this weekend?
This was actually a pretty uneventful weekend for me for a change. I had been sick for like ever. Remember, I thought I was supposed to come here last Monday when I had...
She sent me a panicked message and I couldn't even understand half of it because I couldn't hear her.
It was a very distressful time for me. I'm like, oh my God, Tommy, I can't even speak. So this weekend I did decide to kind of stay home. I'm usually in New York, as you know, for the weekend. And Saturday I had the most glorious day of nothing. Like literally I got up, showered, got something to eat, then took off all my clothes again and got under my covers. And
I'm proud of you.
I did that all day Saturday, and it was amazing. I did get some work done for this venture that I have overseas. I think I might have mentioned that to you.
Yep.
So I sent some emails and, you know, moved stuff around, but that was minimal. Then I watched trash TV.
That's the best. That's the best.
It was the best day I've had in a while where I wasn't even picking up calls. It was just like, I don't want to. Yesterday, I did go out for a friend's birthday. We had a little barbecue, but that was pretty much it. And I actually am proud to say I did nothing this weekend.
That's good. When you work hard, you deserve that.
Absolutely.
And let me tell you, where we work, it's working hard. It is. It's hard work to do what we do. But, all right, so listen, we're going to take a quick little second to give a shout out to one of our sponsors. And when we come back, we'll jump into some of the dish for you and cover some of the top stories that are going on in the LGBT community for this week. So here's a message from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Tonight's episode is brought to you by Studio Sweden. If you're looking for an affordable headset with amazing sound quality, style, and comfort, head on over to studiosweden.com and take a look at the selection of headsets available. With an amazing variety, you are sure to find one that suits your style and needs. Use discount code GAYTALK2.0 for 15% off your entire order, and remember, it's free shipping worldwide. studiosweden.com. Now back to the show.
All right. Welcome back. Thank you. And just make sure that it's Gay Talk 2.0, that discount code. As the ad states, it's 15% off anything on the website. The headsets are amazing. I'm wearing mine. I wear it every week. Plus, we also have the chance to review the newest one that they sent us over last week. And we encourage that you check them out. They're great products. So going into some of the stories that we have, we've spoken about a specific topic.
Maybe talk about this.
You want to talk about the... Okay, let's talk about... Yeah, we need to do our cocktails. See, we're all over the place.
Because these are big stories and you know cursive is going to come out. And we have to blame it on something.
All right, so Christopher, why don't we talk about what we're drinking today?
Yes, we are... It was by request, but I'm going to go ahead and change the title just a little bit. It's today we're kind of having a quick old-fashioned on a budget. That's the way I'm looking at it, because super budget.
But it's super good.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I haven't made them in a while, but they're nice. So the reason I say the old fashions, our ingredients today consist bourbon, sugar, but we were using simple syrup, which is why I say it quick. I prefer to use real sugar. I think when it's in, real sugar in the muddling process helps break down the fruit a little bit more. So the bourbon, sugar, maraschino cherries, navel orange, and then a splash of water. So I put the... orange, the cherries, the simple syrup, muddled that down with a splash of water, added 2 ounces, why it's budget, Jim Beam bourbon, under $20 for the bottle.
Not bad.
Mm-hmm. 2 ounces of that, added the ice, couple dashes of Angostura bitters, stir it up. It's delicious, it's nutritious, and it will induce cursive.
It's fabulous. And we love cursive. So if you're not familiar with our terminology, what ends up happening halfway through the show, we start like literally twisting our words. And like slurring our words. And so we say that that's not us speaking drunk.
I love that.
We're speaking cursive and it's
fucking elegant.
And that's
our I love that.
Yeah,
that's
it. Drunk. I'm just speaking.
We're not slurring
cursive.
Our words.
They're just not mold letters. Get over
exactly.
I get it.
It's freaking amazing.
We speak
awesome.
With gravitas here at Gay Talk.
Wait. Hello. One of my favorite things.
It's freaking amazing. Anyway, I'm not a huge bourbon drinker, but when Chris makes his drinks, he can do them really well. But as we all know, a lot of trouble can come from drinking bourbon on our show.
One time.
So anyway, going back to some of the stories that we have. So we had spoken about a gay couple that had brought a lawsuit against the European Union in the high EU court because their marriage is not being recognized as part of, you know, the whole broader European Union, in the sense that, you know, they can go to certain countries and have their marriages recognized, but in Romania, where they live, they're not able to benefit from some of the benefits that couples who are married, even though they weren't married there, have, you know, because their marriages in other nations that are part of the European Union are recognized. Or at least their marriage is. So they had sued, and this particular case worked its way up all through the lower courts and ended up at the European Union highest court. And they're due to rule on this tomorrow. And so what ends up happening now is that depending on this ruling, it has a very, very large impact because as we know, like in the United States, you know, you have all these sovereign states. When the U.S. Supreme Court rules on something, it becomes the law of the land for the most part if they pass, you know, if they dissent on it. And in the case of the European Union, it sort of kind of functions the same way. You know, you still have all these individual countries that are their individual entities, but they're part of this European Union and have the same currency and they have the freedom of being able to travel to and from one country to the other. So a landmark case like this, getting a ruling in favor of this couple would mean that some of these countries that are more conservative would be forced.
Here's to you, Russia.
Mm-hmm. Hello. To acknowledge some of the issues that surround this particular case. And I think that I'm hoping that for this couple and for many couples that live in abroad in Europe, that this becomes a reality. You know, I think it's very important. What are your thoughts on that, Elsie?
I sincerely don't see how they could rule against it. Mm-hmm. It'll essentially violate a range of other agreements under the European Union. And so I can see where the reservation lies because, as you say, it will establish a precedent. Mm-hmm. But I sincerely don't see under current law how they would be able to essentially legitimize a ruling against validating their marriage.
And with their past track record, when you look how they, when refugees were attempting to get into Europe, I forget which nation it was, but they were administering a gay test for right. people who were fleeing because they identified as LGBT. They were essentially being tested to show proof that they were actually of LGBT. And the high court said no.
Like, how do you even do that? Do you like bring your partner and have sex with them in front of them? And look.
I know, right? And I think it was
like, hello,
ridiculous.
Rickshaw tests, questionnaires. I think they were even doing anal examinations and stuff like that. And the European,
how demeaning is that?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Where is a human rights person arguing that this is just abusive?
Right. And the EU, when faced with something like that, will always protect human rights.
Absolutely.
You know, and the thing is, like, for example, I have my friend that I speak to. We talk often on either social media or through some of the messaging apps. He is from Romania, and he recently left because of the bigotry that's highlighted in what's going on in that country. He left. He actually moved to Berlin, so he's in Germany. And, you know, he tells me stories about what goes on and how they treat, you know, specifically men in same-sex relationships. But, you know, a lot of the problem lies in the fact that, like, countries like, for example, Romania, Hungary, Poland, Latvia, you know, told the court, too, said they don't want the term spouse to be included under the same-sex union's meaning. And I'm like, it doesn't affect you in any way, shape, or form. What these people do behind four doors on their own time, in their own privacy,
with their own genitalia, mm-hmm.
doesn't impact you in any way, shape, or form. And I'm like, and I keep going back to the fact that this kind of thing only happens because, you know, it's driven by religion and it's driven by the fact that, you know, certain factions of religion believe that this is wrong. And it's like, you know, I don't force myself on you. Don't force your religious beliefs on me. And we all still have to live together. And you should just really mind your fucking business.
I've always been really baffled by the phenomenon that of why is this even an issue? Why? Some people like having sex with animals. And those conversations go easier than a man having sex with another man. And talk about gender inequality, by the way.
Let's talk about
women do not have it as bad as homosexual men do.
No, they don't.
And to me, that is such a double standard, which I will never understand.
Well, because the idea of straight men or heterosexual men having multiple women as partners at the same
time. Well, that's just okay.
It's okay. Right?
That's not deviant at all.
Right.
No. Not at all.
It just makes you an asshole, apparently, which is accepted.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, at least our president.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Hashtag not my president who gets paid, has a payoff, you know. porn stars $130,000 to keep a hush-hush, but, you know, that never worked out. Anyway, but anyway. So, you know, I just think that, you know what, it's time for the European Union to set this precedence and make sure that this amazing couple, who have been together for many years, can actually have a significant relationship and where they're actually able to say, I am important in the place of where I live and I choose to pay taxes in and be a part of society, you know, and I hope that with the ruling, if it's in their favor, that with that comes protections as well for their civil liberties and their ability to be able to actually be who they are in society.
Absolutely. And to have their rights as a married couple validated, essentially, you know, when things happen and the spouse is left essentially with nothing, mm-hmm. because they have no right to claim the life that they built with their partner, which is just insane. And it's also such a hypocrisy too. So as a homosexual, as a gay person, as part of the LGBT community, I am still liable for every other civil responsibilities, taxes, behaving like a decent person, not breaking any laws. But then my other rights, that's okay. You know, that you can do away with because it makes you uncomfortable.
And it sucks.
It absolutely does.
You know, but just so that people know, some of the countries out here that are not, there are 22 out of the 28 members of the European Union that do not support this notion. As we said before, Romania, Poland, Slovakia, Bulgaria, Lithuania, Latvia is noted in the story as being one of them, but then there was a correction, and it said that it's not Latvia, but rather Estonia, that is among the EU countries not offering legal protections for same-sex couples. And all I can say is to this couple and to those that hopefully will benefit from this ruling is good luck tomorrow. The ruling is going to be, you know, read tomorrow, and we'll have more information on it during our next show.
I have faith in you, EU.
I do too. I'm hoping that, you know, that Europeans come through.
And hopefully it'll extend to countries like Russia and the rest of Eastern Europe, which is notorious for how unaccepting they are mm-hmm. of people's rights, and essentially, because that's what it is.
Right.
You know, so even for countries who are outside of the Union, like Russia and other Eastern European countries, this might be the way that gets paved for them to come around and, like,
well,
really.
Because, I mean, if they're going to be traveling through and going to some of these countries, they're going to have to,
right.
depending on the ruling,
right.
have to deal with it,
right. mm-hmm.
you know? So, Christopher, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I find it interesting. It leads to something I wanted to talk about. Mm-hmm. It's a tweet that I actually saw today on The Advocate, not on Twitter, because I don't know how Twitter works. But I'm just going to go ahead and read the tweet. And it was, as we begin hashtag Pride Month, we stand with the hashtag LGBTI community in U.S. and around the world in affirming the dignity and equality of all people. Human rights are universal. Now, that tweet came from our homeland, came from the United States.
Who tweeted that?
Surprisingly, the Secretary of State Pompeo.
Stop it.
You shut your mouth.
I'm about to shit my pants. Are you serious?
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo went out and recognized something that the President Donald Trump had failed to do. And I believe it was last year. He said June was Outdoors Month. Outdoors Awareness Month, or like, yeah, something ridiculous. He didn't only not acknowledge Pride Month, but then he gave the month to something else.
Like, you mean like when the Christians decided that Christmas was going to be on the same day
absolutely.
That the God of the Sun is celebrated?
Absolutely.
That sneaky bastard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's worked before, so good try.
And well, you
what
never
an
know.
Asshole.
But you know, and speaking of that, it is June and it is Pride Month. And to all of our listeners and all the people of the LGBTQ community out there, happy Pride. Happy Pride. We're sending you a lot of love. Thank you to Mama Kim for our amazing handmade flags that she sent us out. We have them here. I have one displayed here in the studio. We took pictures of those flags and we posted it on social media mm-hmm. so you guys can see the amazing, beautiful work this woman did for us. Happy Pride. It is Pride Month and it's all about who we are, what we are, what we stand for, and what we're not going to take.
And it's this year is it's pivotal, and it's so important to participate and, you know, be out in the marches and really look at Pride as not so much of just a party right now. Like, of course, Pride is a great time. It's a lot of fun. But we really need to show the resilience ahead of this midterm election. We need to be out there and stand and show what we are fighting for and what so many people are not alive any longer to
see.
Yeah, exactly. And we need to be there in solidarity and show this administration, get them shaken in their boots, because like so many Republicans are saying, even former Speaker of the House Boehner is saying there is no Republican Party anymore. There's a Trump Party now. So that has to be combated. We have to be there. We have to show up. Absolutely. We have to be proud. We have to show our pride. We have to stand together. Even these students from the school shooting in Florida, I believe it's on the 15th, they're starting a tour across the country to promote gun violence, or to promote changes in gun reform. And they're going to hit 25 states, I believe, on a 50-day trip. People are getting out in the streets and they're finally vocalizing things that need to be changed, and we need to hold the people accountable for, but we need to look at Pride as more than just a party, especially this year.
I agree. And, absolutely. You know, this midterm elections is going to be critical in how we move forward as a nation with the possibility of removing, impeaching in any way possible, someone who just does not deserve to be in that office, period. And that's my opinion. I don't know if you share that opinion or I don't know if you share that opinion, but in my opinion, he's just a rat. He doesn't belong there.
What's really sad about Trump being president, you know, other than the fact that he's a bigoted idiot, goes without saying, is the fact that it actually represents a very large portion of our nation.
Indeed.
And that's exactly what the problem is with
And, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, and the problem with what he's doing is that he's making it okay for people to come out the woodworks, you know. Don't fool yourself to think that once once we passed legislation that made it illegal for slavery or to discriminate, you know, with the civil rights movement, that, you know, bigots and racists were gone. They went into hiding. And, you know, we went through this phase in America in where it was not okay for people who had those beliefs to vocalize and be vocal about who they were. And they sort of kind of had to internalize all that, right?
Right.
And it never goes away. And then you have this freaking idiot that comes on TV and really mocks, you know, Latinos, mocks Black people, says obscene things about people with disabilities, and all of a sudden it's okay for these people who had all these internalized feelings about, you know, Latinos and Black and people of color to sort of kind of vocalize it and come out and say it's okay to do, you know?
Right.
And throw it in your face because, hey, if our president can do it, why can't we?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know? That's exactly what he's done, is legitimize their ability to be this forward about it when, well, like you say, it's okay. My president does it and it's okay. Oh, it's my, you know, it's my First Amendment, right? There are provisions to that. Just like you can yell bomb in a freaking theater. It's not okay for you to use language in public that incites violence. You can go fuck yourself when you're quoting constitutional clauses that you don't even understand fully, obviously. So we're not going to get into who that makes you an ignorant, which might be the reason why you're in this party to begin with.
One of the things that baffled me the most when then candidate Trump was on the campaign trail was when he was at one of his rallies. And I don't understand why it's not even talked about too much anymore, or people don't remember it maybe. I mean, some people I'm sure do, and the newsreels will bring it every now and then. But when he's sitting on stage and he's like, oh, there's my African American. There's my African American. Oh, what the? Who says that?
Oh my God!
What do you need? Like a token or something? This is not a token. This is not something that you wear. This is not something that you decorate with. This is a human being.
I have met my Black quota. He is right there.
Yeah, exactly. But the scary thing is I want, if he is actually going to start winning over the Black vote. With the unemployment being so low as it is, I'm worried that he might get the Black vote.
Here's the thing. right?
That would be really, really scary.
Can I tally it up?
Thank you, baby. We need to look at a state like, for example, Alabama and see what happened there. It was black people of color, black women that came out and pushed Roy Moore mm-hmm. away from his seat.
Right.
From his possible seat. It was the black community that stepped up to the plate and saved the day. I don't think that the black community could be possibly so ignorant in believing that this man could be anything good for them.
Well, the only thing I think that's going to change, because there's no doubt the economy is doing well right now. It's doing better now. It is doing better now. Yeah. There's no question about that. The only thing I can think is now with these new tariffs that he's introduced on our closest allies, who Ronald Reagan referred to Canada as not only our closest neighbor and our closest friend, but you are our kin. Like, we have established North America together. Mm-hmm. So not only are we targeting our closest allies, it's with these tariffs that he's imposing on Canada, Mexico, and the European Union, the people now with that, with those nations retaliating with more tariffs, the people that it's going to hurt are the American consumers.
The middle American.
Right.
Like, you know, the middle class.
Mm-hmm.
People who have to work these jobs and where some of the materials that are needed from some of these nations, the price is going
to
go up.
Or where we sell them. Or, you know, where we sell our send our jeans to, where we send our bourbon to, where we send soybeans to, where we send pork to. Like, these things are going to start getting taxed now. So that's going to end up hurting the American, especially
and
his camp.
And only the consumer.
Absolutely.
And only the consumer.
Absolutely. And a lot of the people that are going to get hurt are his base.
And the throwback of all these, you know, things that were put in place to protect the consumers, right? All these executive orders that he has pushed through to undo almost everything that Obama ever did. I mean, the man is trying to literally get rid of Obama's legacy. And so a lot of the things that he put in place, he has by executive order overturned. And the only people that are getting rich are those that are already rich. You know, and the average American person will not see a dime of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the richer get richer and the poor just, well, screw you.
Right. And it's an endless argument. And we have it and it doesn't really make a change. And it's really frustrating when you have conversations about politics, immigration and the economy mm-hmm. with people who essentially jump in on these bandwagons and just essentially repeat everybody else's rhetoric without giving it any thought. You know, like when people try to justify tax cuts for large companies, they're like, well, that helps the economy because then they create jobs. That's not true. Mm-hmm. You know who creates jobs? The consumer. To Chris's point, the consumer creates jobs because guess what? If I cannot afford these goods, there's no need for you to have more people making these goods that I cannot afford.
Right.
So please don't tell me that it's okay to do that and continue to ride those write-offs essentially on the working class because it helps the economy and it creates jobs. It does not create jobs. A tax cut does not create jobs. That company is still going to, you know, outsource their manufacturing because it ups their bottom line, period.
Mm-hmm.
So whether the tariffs are high or not, it's the consumer that creates those jobs. Because again, if I cannot afford the goods, why do you need to create more jobs to create goods that I cannot afford?
Absolutely.
And people don't understand that. They don't understand the basic concept of economy.
And that, my friends, is how you know, get an economic class here on Gay Talk. My dear Elsie, who I love absolutely. All right, so listen, what we're going to do is, it is now 33 minutes into our episode. We're going to take a break. We'll play some music. And when we come back, we have more Dish. Elsie's still here with us. And also returning on today's, is today's installment of From Top to Bottom by Dr. Evan Goldstein. So super excited about that. We'll be right back.
My head gets caught in the moment, but my heart doesn't know it. Heart doesn't know it. Somehow I'm lost in the lonely, but it's too hard to show it. Too hard to show it. Danse avec moi. Danse avec moi. Danse avec moi. Do I fall? Thank you.
a winding road, but I can't control it, and nobody knows it. Do I fall in love? 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 You are the one to open my eyes, and you are the one to make me think twice, and you are the one I wanna spend my life with. You are the one, you're looking so nice, and when I'm with you, I'm in paradise, spending my days thinking about you, baby. You are the one I wanna be with, and you're on my mind, I just can't forget you. You are the one I'm gonna spend my life with. Oh baby, do I fall?
Welcome back from the break. That was the incredible Davis Mallory with Dance With Me. It's a song that he recently released. We've had him on the show before. A lot of people may remember him from the real world, one of those real worlds. But anyway, welcome back from the break. And now, without further ado, once again is our monthly segment from top to bottom with the great Dr. Evan Goldstein from Bespoke Surgical. Here is this month's tip for all of the bottoms and tops looking to keep a dry and plush bum. Let's take a listen.
Hey y'all, you're listening to From Top to Bottom with Dr. Evan Goldstein.
All right, welcome back to another clip of Gay Talk 2.0 from top to bottom. This is Dr. Evan Goldstein. We're answering this week from a Roger that specified in my last comments that wipes, what I call the baby butt cleaning wipes for cleaning your butt, are not a good idea. Could you give more details? He goes further into, I've been cleaning myself with them, and after using toilet paper available after each bowel movement, ever since my doctor recommended them. It keeps the shorts clean and makes me nicer to be near. I use the unscented type and have never had an adverse reaction to them. So, could you explain? All right. Well, first off, yes, wipes, baby wipes, wet wipes, whatever the fuck you want to call them, are terrible, terrible, terrible. One, from an environmental perspective, they do not get broken down accordingly. Also, they get stuck in the piping perspective. But the reality is that it creates so much moisture in the area. And with moisture, and the normal bacteria that you have, you wind up getting a tremendous amount of overgrowth. And so I always think of it as kind of those wipes are really wiping away the actual good bacteria. And again, you have to remember, this is where the sun doesn't shine. So a lot of people, what they do is they'll use these wipes and just pull up their pants and go on with their day. The same thing before people go to bed. And what happens is this moisture sits there, bad bacteria starts to kind of ferment, and then you start getting a lot of issues such as itching, redness, dermatitis, a lot of localized problems. And then also from a surgical perspective, fissures, hemorrhoids, tears, all of that stuff causes a lot of issues with these wipes. It prevents everything from really not healing. So postoperatively, we talk a lot about making sure that you do not use those at all. Soap, water. Bidets are great. There's a company that we work closely with called Tushy, and they're super affordable, easy to install, and you can use those instead. And then again, I think that the key component is the drying mechanism. Now, you can use these on the go periodically, but I just find the chronic issues associated with them are really causing a lot of that nighttime itching, a lot of whiteness in kind of the change in color of the surrounding skin. Also, again, like I said, that bacterial issue where the second someone comes and pulls down their pants in front of me and I could see that, oh, you've been using wipes because you could just tell. And especially from a bottoming game, it really can wreak havoc in that area. So I really think everyone should stay away from the wipes. They're used on babies' butts. And again, you know, it's like my kids, I used them for the first 2 to 3 years. And then after that, they all started getting terrible rash reactions from them. That's the issue with this long-term use, lots of irritation and really should be avoided. And again, like I said before, from an environmental perspective, less wiping, less use of these wet wipes, more use of the bidets just allows for, improvement in everything moving forward. Hope that helps with that. Next question comes from an Anthony. Can you ask how long it takes until you can bottom after a hemorrhoidectomy? I think the short answer is about 3 months. The longer answer, first, we just really need to define what is a hemorrhoidectomy. Hemorrhoids, remember, are dilated veins. They're there on purpose. Everyone has them. Symptomatic hemorrhoids are the ones that could be painful or bleeding and kind of go in and out of the anal opening. There's two types, internal and external. And a formal hemorrhoidectomy is basically removing the extra skin on the outside, the external component of the dilated vein, and then its internal connection as well. The procedure itself is straightforward. It's usually about 20 to 30 minutes. You're sleepy and comfortable. Local anesthesia is given so the area is completely numb. And then that section of that hemorrhoid is removed and then stitched closed. You know, the recovery in and of itself, clearly it's a pain in the ass and you know what you're getting into. We definitely do some stuff with lotions and suppositories and pain meds to get you through it. But usually it's 1 to 2 days of this sucks. And then usually about 1 to 2 weeks during bowel movement time in which, you know, obviously it's a slow progress. But usually by 6 weeks, we're started to get back to kind of anal play. So using butt plugs and dilators and doing some stuff to get my scar to be really strong. Remember, we need scar to not only be strong, but distensible, right? So using the butt plugs and dilators in about 6 weeks, you'll kind of work yourself up going from small to large over the next 4 weeks. So that's where I kind of put it, where 6 weeks, you're starting kind of light anal play. And then usually by 10 weeks or about 3 months down the road, you're really back to fully engaging and really bottoming the way that you want to. I hope this answers your question, Anthony. You know, I try and put as many tips as I can through Instagram and Medium and our Facebook page. So really try and follow us and gives a lot of great information for better practicing of bottoming. All right. Hope this helped and keep them coming. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
That is absolutely very, very important information. So as some of you listeners, like seriously, immediately after he had mentioned that comment that, you know, don't use butt wipes because they're not good for you, everyone was like, oh my God, what are you talking about? And so, you know, it's really
my
good.
My life has been shattered.
So no more butt wipes for you. But, you know, it's, you know, there's a reason why he says the things that he says. And, you know, this is a doctor that really specializes in taking care of the bottom portion of the male anatomy and even females who may need butt surgery for whatever reason. But, you know, it really puts into perspective all the things that we think that are good for us, but sometimes are not. And then even the environmental aspect of it, as he mentioned. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts, Chris?
Well, I mean, it makes perfect sense. And I never personally went out of my way to buy them. My roommate would always, and I wouldn't say always, but would buy them sometimes and I would use them. But like he said, it is the area where the sun don't shine. And I could imagine a lot of people slather that wet nap over their butt and then just pull their shorts right up. But I actually didn't do that. When I would use them, I would use it, but then I would use dry toilet paper after, because it just made sense that that area is, if it's wet, it's going to stay damp. And which,
I mean,
would
I sweat.
Then, well, yeah, exactly. So anything that alone can create bacteria. So why, it makes perfect sense that you're wiping away the good bacteria and then allowing for more bad bacteria to get there. And the really good thing, like you mentioned, that was that he brought up the idea that, you know, not only are they not good for your poop hole, but they're not good for the pipes and they're not good for the environment because they don't break down like regular toilet paper might do.
It's amazing. So Elsie, you had, your eyes were like this big during that
crushed.
Hole.
I am so crushed because I am a habitual wet wipe user. I think the world of it. But yeah, it absolutely makes sense, the wetness. And I know that it is really bad for the environment, but then I eat meat, so I don't care. I like to think that I care, but let's be honest. Also, Tommy, do not take away the importance of this for women, because all women are bottoms. Just saying. So this is an important issue. Are we not?
But you tell me.
If you think of the anatomy of things and how things work, does that not make every woman a bottom?
I don't know. I still think Jess Brannis is a top. Jess is a top.
Oh, she's a top.
Hey, Jess. We miss you, girl.
I know. I had a conversation, and she actually called us and left a voicemail. And so I wanted to publicly apologize for not returning your call or your message. But, you know, we have been in talks, and I think that she wants to have a conversation with each of us hosts individually on her show.
Yeah, I talked to her. I had a lovely phone call, phone chat with her on Tuesday, actually. She called me when I got to Long Island, and we chatted for about 10, 15 minutes. And yeah, there's some cool ideas that we're not going to bring up because we're not sure yet, but there's some cool ideas possibly in the works. And I'm totally down for a weekend in Philly. The most time we spent in Philly, I feel like, was 45 minutes.
Yeah.
4 hours to get there, to spend 45 minutes to shotgun some cheesesteaks and then fly out of there to Camden.
But we also went, because we did go to Camden, and then, because it is truly Camden, to go to Wildfire Radio for their show, for the Idiots Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was an amazing, you know, amazing time. Those guys are awesome. I love
them.
They're
a lot of fun.
You know, and then, of course, our trip down to D.C. and all that good stuff. But,
and again, we stopped to grab a cheesesteak on the way home.
Yum.
We sure did. So, you know, if you guys would like more information, or even maybe solicit a consultation with a great doctor, you can go to bespokesurgical.com and get all the information on how you can reach out to the good doctor and hopefully take care of any issues that you may have in the land down under. So, that being said, there's some other things that we'd like to cover and some other things that we want to talk about. We'll try to stick to the gay stuff because, you know, we are a gay show, and try to limit ourselves with the politics. You know, we get a little crazy and carried away when we do that.
It's so hard not to. Like, come on.
Like, seriously.
It's so hard not to.
So, but that being said, next Monday, it'll be June 11th. And of course, you know, we're creeping up on the second anniversary of the shooting at Club Pulse, and that has been a topic, a very sour topic for us. We did, you know, all those amazing tributes to each one of our fallen brothers and sisters and allies that were in that nightclub that night. And so while you're celebrating Pride this month, because it is Pride Month, you know, we need to think about the impact that particular event had on our community, and hopefully never forget that it did happen, and that we still have a long way to go and a lot to fight for.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So, today, breaking news, the U.S. Supreme Court has officially ruled somewhat in favor of the baker over the same-sex couple that sued because that particular baker failed or refused to make them a wedding cake because of his religious beliefs. So, you know, it's pretty shocking, the ruling, but I wanted to get your perspectives on it before I give you my idea behind what happened today.
I think it's going to lead to more cases such as this, and it's going to lead to many more cases being presented to the Supreme Court, whether or not they'll hear these cases. Mm-hmm. This, though, they didn't, they sided with the baker. It is showing, and it's pretty much going to promote the idea that businesses can do what this baker did.
Not necessarily, because here's my interpretation of what I think happened. Okay, the U.S. Supreme Court dodged a major ruling on the question of whether business owners can refuse service to gay individuals based on their religious objections. In the case brought by the Colorado baker, the court ruled 7-2 that he did not get a fair hearing on his complaint because Colorado's Civil Rights Commission demonstrated hostility to religion in the treatment of this particular case, which means that they have not declared that this is unconstitutional for someone or constitutional for someone to be able to reject services to anyone who's a same-sex couple. Right. So that means that there's still an opportunity for this to end up at the Supreme Court again and eventually warrant a ruling. But I said this before, we were having this conversation a while back when this first started, and the Supreme Court, I believe, is not going to take a stance on this until the majority of states either pass laws to protect same-sex couples from religious discrimination, because that's exactly what it is. Much the same way they did with same-sex marriage, in the sense that they waited for a majority of states to actually go ahead and pass rulings supporting same-sex marriage before they make the ultimate decision and say, yes, it is unconstitutional.
Which is what I'm saying. It's going to, because another case such as this to be heard for the Supreme Court, I feel like it's going to be a long time. So businesses are going to continue to discriminate against people of the LGBT community using religion as their excuse, and they're going to be able to get away with it for a lot longer, I think, dodging the decision.
Here's the pragmatic part of me that Tommy mentioned at my introduction. We can get caught up on the whole, it's their religion, we have to respect their religious views, and so they should be able to deny someone service because it violates their religious views. Most religions hold very, very, very true that if you're part of a different religion, then you're wrong, and that you are definitely a problem in terms of, you know, I cannot accept your views because they're contradictory to mine, right? Which has always been really funny to me, given that the basis of religion is the whole acceptance thing for your neighbor.
Right.
But that's another conversation, I guess. I believe firmly that if you're going to uphold a business owner's decision to deny someone service because of their sexual orientation, then they have to deny service to anyone who's not part of their religion. Because that's just, if we're going to go on principle, we're going to have to go on principle. You don't get to pick which parts of your religion you want to exercise. Are you fucking kidding me?
If someone comes in...
Preach, girl.
And if a straight
couple... Can it make sense?
Right. If a straight couple comes in and they order a cake and you make them their cake, and then 2 years later, that man comes in, but he's divorced and going to be remarrying someone else.
You better not fucking make that
exactly
cake
because he got
that
divorced.
Is a fucking violation against most religious principles, and let's not even talk about the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And you cannot leave your partner. Period. So if this is your second marriage, I can make you a cake because it's against me. You know what I mean, like. Please, I would want the court to rule for them.
If this is your second marriage, you should have learned your lesson the first time.
Right, but then again. But here's my thing. Like, if I were in a position to have any effect on these rulings, I would absolutely rule for them. I would absolutely rule for them and then ruin them. Because guess what? You're going to have to show me your entire dogma. You're going to have to show me exactly everything that violates your religious beliefs. And no, you're not allowed to do fucking business with anyone that's not in that list, period.
Absolutely,
so, yeah,
right.
You know, don't make cakes for queer people. They're the worst and God hates them. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
But you also can make cakes for anyone else that doesn't share your same exact religious beliefs, period. Let's see how well your business does then. You know what I mean? You cannot pick which parts of your religion you want to uphold. That's right. Just bullshit.
Right.
And it's my argument with every religion. Like, I have a set of coworkers. No one knows where we work, right?
No.
Good. So I have a set of coworkers where management actually set me aside and said to me, you need to stop terrorizing the religious people in this fucking company. Because I would sit there and I would tell them, wait, but what about this part of the Bible that you continue to quote to me? Oh, that's not convenient, so we're going to just ignore that? No, you do not get to pick what's the right way of sinning. You can go fuck yourself.
Right.
So if I can't get a cake from you because I'm marrying my lesbian lover, then no one else that's not part of your religion should be able to order a cake for you. Let's see how that affects your bottom line and watch you correct your way of thinking quickly.
Of course, absolutely. Money talks.
Right.
Money talks, bullshit walks. But, and speaking of that, I have one individual who every so often forgets that I'm very secular in my religious views and that I really don't follow religion. I mean, I follow it in the sense of just keeping up with the times and keeping informed in what's going on in a lot of the factions of religion, whether that's in the Muslim world, you know, if it's Catholic, Presbyterian, you know, the Church of England, whatever's going on.
Oh, the Church of England is one of my favorite churches.
Yeah.
You get to make a religious rule that would actually validate you killing your wife so you can marry your mistress. I mean,
gotta love
go
Henry.
King Henry.
Hello. Seriously. But, you know, it amazes me because this one particular individual would like approach me and then start, you know, because I sing, I'm a singer, right? And this person thinks it can sing. And so it starts singing stuff about church and, oh, you love to sing, huh? You should come. Yeah, I don't want to hint as to whether it's feminine or masculine. So we'll say they, right? Because it's very gender non-conforming and neutral. So they think that I want to now come and sing at they church because, you know, I have a voice. And I'm like, they need to just back the fuck up because I don't want to go through this. We're at work. I don't want to deal with this.
This is why God hates gays. Listen to your talk. He gave you that gift and you refuse to give it to him. I mean, regardless of whether he hates you or not, shame on you, Tommy.
What? And I'm like, no, but listen. So I love to sing and I believe that there is a higher power. And I, you know, I pray to my shrine every so often and which, you know, wish people good fortune, but just don't come at me with your religious stuff and expect me not to just be like, because what I had to do today was like, I'm not interested. I don't believe what you believe in. You need to just turn around, grab your food and go back to your desk.
I hope those were the words that you used.
Those were the exact words that I used. And every so often a year goes by, year and a half goes by, and we've been in the company for pretty much almost the amount of saved time, they forget and they sort of kind of bring that subject up again. I'm like, yeah, no, goodbye. Mm-hmm. I'm like, now I just dodge. I'm like, oops, someone's coming. I'm going into the bathroom. I'll go sit in the stall for like 10 minutes until the person disappears. But it's like, I just don't want to deal with it.
I hear you. And again, religious people are like one of the favorite people for me to talk to, almost as much as Republicans. Because they will engage in this conversation and back up their thoughts with scripture, right? But then they seem to skip through a whole lot of other scripture where, you know, I'm a woman and the Bible hates me. So why in fuck's name would I be okay with that? Like, hello, there's actual language there that says that I'm a lesser human. So no, they're like, oh, you're a heathen. You don't believe in God. And I'm like, maybe I do believe in God, but my God is not some bigoted fucking raging asshole that hates everyone that's not a male.
Hello.
A straight male.
True. No, but you know, and going back to our story, it's like I think that it's a devastating ruling, right? Because we want this to be done and over with. As Chris mentioned, this opens up the opportunity and the way for more people to continue to do this for a longer period of time. You make a great point.
And that's exactly what it'll do. It'll set that precedent.
Until many states start to step up and start passing legislation to protect individuals that are same-sex couples. And when they do it enough states sign on board, it'll go back to the Supreme Court because, you know, it's going to be that one state that's going to hold out, like Texas or, I don't know, what was the last one? Alabama, maybe?
Oklahoma. Kansas.
All these states have just said no.
The entire Bible Belt,
pretty much, and then you know the Supreme Court is just going to say no, go suck it, and then you're going to get another asshole like, you know, Waffle House Kim, who's going to come along and be like, no, I can't give you a license because it's against my religious beliefs.
Absolutely,
I hate that. Girl.
That's exactly how it's going to be.
You know, so it's the hard things that we need to do, that we need to fight. And, but here's the message to a lot of you know, our listeners and for people in our community. When something like this happens, don't stay silent. If you can safely make your point and file any motion that you can and fight lawfully, do it.
Mm-hmm. And states as a whole are standing up to it. Which kind of leads, it's a perfect segue into the next part of it. California actually added Oklahoma to the list of states under its travel ban, prohibiting non-essential state-funded travel to states with anti-LGBT laws. And California Attorney General Xavier Becerra announced the addition of Oklahoma on Friday due to Oklahoma's recent enactment of a law allowing religiously affiliated adoption foster care agencies with state contracts to turn away prospective parents who pose a conflict with their faith tenets, which will allow for discrimination against LGBT people, interfaith couples, which they also said divorced couples, single parents. So they're kind of sticking with that. Like, they're not just saying LGBT people. But it's blatantly to keep LGBT parents from adopting.
But if you get yourself a straight couple who has a drug problem and beats children, we're good.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we're good.
Or just leave them in the foster care system.
No,
and don't let them find a home. Exactly.
Right. No, that's perfectly acceptable.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. And the, quote, California law requires that the office identify and maintain a list of states which are off limits to state-funded or state-sponsored travel. Now, this ban will be going into effect on June 22nd. Oklahoma's discriminatory law was signed by Governor Mary Fallon on May 11th, and that takes place on November 1st. Kansas also recently adopted a similar law, but they were already on the travel list. The other states that are on California's travel ban list are, of course, Alabama, Kentucky, Mississippi, North Carolina, I believe following HB2, South Dakota, Tennessee, and Texas. Though there are exceptions to the ban if California employees are required to go by court, or, you know, there are exceptions if you have to go there. But it's just interesting also because our home state back in 2015 did a similar thing when now Vice President Mike Pence, when he was a governor of Indiana, secretly or quietly signed an executive order allowing businesses to discriminate or deny services to people of LGBT. And Daniel Malloy had put out a tweet because
he wasn't having it.
No, not at all. And it said, because of Indiana, this was a tweet on March 30th, 2015, from Governor Dan Malloy of Connecticut. Because of Indiana's new law, later today, I will sign an executive order regarding state-funded travel. He later tweeted out, 1 minute after, when laws turn back the clock on progress, we can't sit idly by. We are sending a message that discrimination won't be tolerated. So,
that's right.
And that was very proud to say that we're from Connecticut, for someone who's standing up for all Americans, because, you know, it's Connecticut saying that we won't put our money into states that are openly discriminating against people. California is doing the same thing, but that can eventually spread a precedent, spread a message to where other states will follow suit.
It's interesting that you would say all Americans, Chris, because it's a conversation that I struggle with all the time. People want to convince themselves that they are pro civil rights, as long as it's not something that they're in conflict with.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot sit here and say, oh, I'm pro equal rights opportunity for African Americans. I call them blacks because And I know it makes people uncomfortable, but we don't refer to white people as European Americans. So it's either black or white or brown or whatever. Just put that out there. You cannot stand for a specific group's civil rights and then deny another group their civil rights. To me, that is just insane. And it's the most ridiculous concept. For instance, I've been labeled as a feminist. I don't see why, right?
It's Elsie, trust me.
But yeah, I not that I think that men and women are the same. I don't. We're clearly different. But, you know, people seem to misconstrue the whole concept of being a feminist, right? You cannot advocate for equal rights for women. And equal rights means that if we're doing the same exact thing, then we should get paid the same. We should be treated the same. We should be spoken about in the same way, using the same exact terms. That's what equality means. You know, if we are construction workers, and this is a conversation that I have with my brother all the time, because he struggled with a female employee who they're unionized, so that she gets paid the same amount as the male counterparts, but doesn't do the same work. That's unfair. Yes, right. Fire her ass because she's not being equally productive. I don't care if she is a woman or if she's gay or whatever the hell, if she's green. I don't care. You know, that's what equality is. Same pay for same input, right?
Right.
Or output, rather. And so for me, it's insane for anyone to claim that they support civil rights for a specific group and then want to deny another group their civil rights as well. It's the same conversation. We should all be treated equally. You cannot make that stand and then choose who deserves civil rights, because that invalidates the entire argument. You know, I can't stand here and say, oh, well, you know, women should be treated equally as men, except if they're gay. Then fuck them, because God hates them.
Mm-hmm. Preach.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in the whole scope of things, it's just like, I hope that at some point, you know, we get to a point where that doesn't have to be an issue, and that, you know, we get a very, very precise description of what civil rights are, and that all groups, you know, as Americans, as all Americans, we all get protected, you know, that we all receive the same protections that are offered by our laws in this country. And, you know, that being said, you know, there's a lot of states that are stepping up to the plate in regards to protecting, you know, those groups that are affected most, like the LGBT community. For example, you know, we've talked about many times on this show regarding states that have passed conversion therapy bans in their states protecting LGBT youth because of the atrocious things that they do to our youth. And it's important to know that these states that step up to the plate and pass legislation banning conversion therapy is very important in protecting our most vulnerable group or part of our community, which is our youth, right? We've had many states, and we've said this on the show before, that have passed laws banning conversion therapy, states including Connecticut, which recently did it about, what, like maybe 10, 11 months ago?
Yeah.
A little under a year. Yeah. California, Nevada, New Jersey, Oregon, Illinois, Vermont, New Mexico, Rhode Island, Washington State, the District of Columbia have all banned conversion therapy. New Hampshire had recently passed, and Hawaii recently passed protections that are awaiting approval from their governors, but it was the state of Maryland that recently, in May, also passed a ban of conversion therapy on kids. And I want to thank Mama Kim for sending us a story via email, because she said, you know, this is amazing news. And she's right. It is, because it is our responsibility as adults to ensure that all children, not just LGBTQ children, are protected from means or therapies that will damage them. And in a statement made by the people representing these groups trying to get these laws in place, said no child should ever be subjected to the abusive practice of so-called conversion therapy. This person said in a statement, this dangerous and inhumane form of child abuse has no basis in science and is uniformly rejected by every major mental health and child welfare organization. And we've talked about this before on the show where we feel very strong about this because we've all been there. I've been a young LGBT child and I've been subjected to racism and all these other things that come along with people and you know, beating me up because I was gay and saying, oh, you know, you don't deserve to live, or, you know, you should go get fixed, or my grandmother and my family, you know, who are very religious, thinking, oh, go to church. Church will fix you.
And this, like, is clearly a choice. You choose to be treated like this.
Who? Who, right? In their right mind will choose this shit? I don't wish, let me tell you, I will never be ashamed of who I am. I'm a very strong person. I'm a very happy person. And I'm very, 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 very gay. That's just the end of that.
Gross.
But I would never wish the gay lifestyle, at least the growing up part of it, on any youth today.
And it goes back to pragma. If you can change someone's, essentially, someone's being with therapy, why don't we do that on children who are major fucking assholes and go around hurting other people?
Why don't we do that on our president?
Why don't we put them through shock therapy? Oh, because that's too bad. They just have a behavioral problem that actually causes harm to other human beings.
Yes.
But you can't apply the same therapy to alter their behavior? Can you please make some sense?
Yeah. Or maybe the president, or that thing that people want to call a president. You know, maybe we should shock him. But anyway, Christopher.
Me.
What else do you have?
That's it.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay. So do we want to jump into some terminology that we normally cover on the show?
Certainly.
Yes, because I'm very excited about having learned cursive.
I'm an excellent teacher sometimes.
I will forever thank you for that.
So, what should we start with first? On this day in gay history or our gay talk term?
The gay talk term.
All right. So, we didn't have enough time to actually, literally force Elsie to go through the book and find one. So, I went ahead and looked through our book of gay talk terms and found one for us. And I think... Oh, did I bookmark the right page? Oh, yes. All right. So anyway, so from our Gay Talk book.
Wait, where is it from?
From our Gay Talk book?
That you published?
I swore it said it was from
unicornbooty.com.
Really?
But anyway, so it says, so our Gay Talk term this particular, for this episode, is crown jewels, right? And it says, jewelry worn by a drag queen. Girl, you're wearing so many crown jewels that somebody's going to mistake you for a carnival ground and charge you rent. 2. Camp. Male genitalia. See family jewels. So that's our gay talk
term. That's our gay talk term.
Crown jewels.
Excellent.
So. Can air quotes, you people stop trying to take shit for just yourself. Crown jewels applies to any jewels.
No, but it's for drag queens. It's for drag queens.
Fine.
They get to have it all by themselves. So that is our gay talk term for today. So, Christopher.
On this day in gay history, brought to you, of course, by
unicornbooty.com.
Not really.
They only had one today, and it's not that great. So I just have to go with it, because that's all unicornbooty.com gave me.
Oh.
Not really.
So, yes. When? June 4th. 1464 in Spain. Henry.
Jesus.
That's right. We're going back. They really had a dig for what happened today in history. Henry, the half brother of Queen Isabel, is called a puto.
Ay, Dios mío, coño.
Or a male prostitute. At his symbolic public dethronement in the farce of Avila.
They call them a puto.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be called a puto. Call me a puto.
Tommy, you're such a puto.
I love
puto.
It. Thank you.
So that's on this day in gay history, ya puto.
Oh, gracias, Christopher.
Wait, so he was a prostitute, but he was he like a male prostitute who engaged in sexual intercourse with other males?
I'm assuming so. Or maybe, no. A good prostitute doesn't discriminate.
Right. That is absolutely true.
So
that
is absolutely probably both.
True. Huh. Interesting.
A little bit of he's, a little bit of she's, a little bit of they's, a little bit of theirs.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's time to wrap things up and bring everything home. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. If you love our show, make sure that you go rate and review on your favorite podcasting service. This helps our show become more visible within our podcasting community. By subscribing to our show, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as we publish our episode. You can also become a supporter on Patreon. Patreon is a service that allows you, our listeners, to support our show with a pledge donation. All donations are collected monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. Elsie, want to help us out?
Absolutely. We want to thank you, Dr. Evan Goldstein, for today's tips on From Top to Bottom.
Yeah.
Yay.
I learned a lot.
Get rid of your butt wipes.
Yeah, absolutely. I am.
Throw them away.
Throw them away. Throw them in the trash.
Throw them away.
If you have them in your purse, I'm going to pull them out.
I keep them at my desk. They're everywhere. It's terrible. Next, he will chat with us on air for the next installment of Tales from the Tale, a monthly chat with where he highlights one of his stories from his blog, and that is on medium.com.
Yes, thank you, Elsie.
Definitely, definitely.
Christopher.
Well, first, we want to say, you know, make sure to follow The Good Doctor on social media at Bespoke Surgical on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And for today, we want to thank you to our guest, Elsie. It was a pleasure having you on the show.
This was fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
I think that she has a very sexy, very like almost like porn star-ish, you know, like let's call a sex hotline voice.
And you can reach me at 1-800.
That's right. Well, we really appreciate you coming on. We liked your conversation, your energy, your wit. You're a little more pleasant to look at than the normal one across from me.
Yeah, Trish.
It's just nicer in here. It's just nicer.
It's very quiet. It's not as dramatic.
I know.
It's like a day without drama. It's like I feel like some of the rainbows just sort of kind of melted off the walls. She's gonna hate that, but anyway.
She definitely is. Can we put a rubber on this?
Put two of them, please.
Alrighty. As always, ladies and gentlemen, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Chris announces.
Yay! You can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0. You can find us at Twitter, at Gay Talk20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
All right. If you need to reach out to us, you can head on over to our website, click on the Contact Us tab at the top of your web browser, where you can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast or an individual host. You can also call us and leave us questions via a voice message where we can answer questions for you on the show. And if you need that phone number, it is 334-GAY-TALK. All the phone numbers, 334-429-8255. Before I say goodbye, Elsie, would you like to plug yourself in any way, shape, or form? Maybe give us a little bit of information on Beerwax, a phone number, a website?
Absolutely. So it's beerwax.com, and that's BIERWAX.com. You can follow us on Instagram at beerwax, and we're also on Facebook, of course, also under Beerwax. Come follow us. It's a lot of fun, and hopefully if you're in New York,
And tasty.
Yeah, and it's yummy and just a lot of fun music. And you guys can come check us out. We're on Vanderbilt Avenue right by Barclay Center in Brooklyn. It's a Prospect Heights neighborhood, and we would love to have you. Mention my name. Maybe you'll get, you know, not free anything, but like, oh, hi.
Well, hello.
Yeah, we know her.
Hello to you, too. All right. Well, listen, thank you so much for tuning in. And Elsie, once again, thank you for joining us. It's always great to see you and have you and be in your company because you're just amazing. Don't forget, the show streams live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night. Bye! Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.